You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
How are you feeling after that, man?
I feel a lot better than Bob.
Extra Time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Get lost.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental. I'm Andrew Wiebe from Vacaville, California, with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Charlie Davies, Matt Doyle. Yesterday, boys, when the format came out, I was a little bit, you know, I was kind of on the fence. I was like, I'm iffy. I'm not sure if I'm feeling it. Right now, I'm giddy. It is 1 p.m. I got an afternoon beer. MLS tournament draw
giddy.
Is done.
Yeah, you're giddy. My stomach's still in my throat. All the pressure was just placed on me. Literally, if I didn't feel... I felt great. I felt like, oh, this is going to be easy. Then an hour before the draw, they're like, whatever you do, you cannot drop a ball or it's all gone. The integrity of this competition is gone. My hands are sweating. I haven't felt this sick to my stomach since playing in Azteca in 2009.
Oh, man.
It's going to get the button up. Facing off against Iniesta, Charlie, which one would you rather do?
I'll take Iniesta, but man, this draw was no joke. I promise you that.
And
this,
you know, was that's no true.
I mean,
too,
that's because... why, Charlie, that's why they had to turn to you,
yeah.
A man of impeccable credentials, a man of unimpeachable character, a man who has handled big moments like this before. For those who don't remember, last year ahead of the expansion draft, right?
It was, yes,
you had to flip the coin for that one, right?
Charlie learned how to flip a coin just for that event. He'd never done it before.
Never.
This was wild, and we got to ask the question that everybody wants to ask. Yeah. Was this rigged? Because once that LA Galaxy pick came out,
my face was just as shocked as anybody else. When I saw LA Galaxy coming out, I said, wow, this is meant to be.
Yeah,
I honestly didn't think people would think it's rigged, because it was just like I saw comments on Twitter like, oh, look at the salad bowl, you know, like salad bowl full of red balls. I got these egg cartons. I'm just picking off of.
I assume the twins were the ones who wrote all the letters and numbers on them as well.
Actually, that was me.
You gotta work on your penmanship.
Thank you. Well, you try and write on a little ball like this with all these dents in it. Come on now.
Dents, huh? Uh-oh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mark Rojas, he was the one picking for LAFC. That's my ball, Charlie. I'm getting that ball. You are mailing me W4. Mark Rojas, like, hey, me and the 3252, we stay together. But the number four is looking real good. Well done, Mark Rojas, on that one. And of course, come on, this can't be rigged. It was live. We all watched Charlie do it. And if it was, they wouldn't have put out a press release before the thing even began telling you that Inter Miami and Orlando are the first matchup. So we already knew that in Group A. We're going to go through all the
rivalry here. Lives.
Oh, you better believe in every single group, I am coming up with a fake rivalry. So be ready for that. Be ready for that right now.
We got need 8 best through 11 F. of fake rivalries we be invented for the best 11.
Oh, man. What a day. I just feel alive right now. I cannot wait until July 8th. That's when the group stage kicks off. We got Paul McDonough of Inter Miami, who's going to join us here in a little while to talk about the path that his team faces to the knockout round and perhaps beyond. And of course, they're an expansion team. They've only played 2 games in their history. This will be 3, 4, and 5, and they'll count for the regular season. We'll go through every group. We'll have our favorites, our dark horse, our players to watch, and we'll make some predictions, and we'll be making them from the same place that you are at home, which is just straight up firing from the hip, because who knows at this point. So thank you for joining us on YouTube Live. If you're not an Extra Time listener or a watcher, we're here every single week, Tuesday. What is wrong with me? Monday and Thursday. At 5 p.m. Eastern, it comes out on YouTube. It has been that way for literally a decade, so I don't know how I messed that one up. And you can, of course, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts as well.
Well, Wiebe, you're on the West Coast now, so the days shift because of the time zones.
my whole life is in disarray right now. I'm just a mess. Group A, in case you missed the draw, let's just run people through it real quick and get you the details, then we'll dig in. Group A is Orlando City and Inter Miami. We knew that before the draw started. New York City FC is also here, and you have that really juicy rivalry from the expansion. Yo, you remember Orlando NYCFC. Philadelphia Union as well, Chicago Fire, and Nashville SC also in this group. So both of the 2020 expansion teams go into Group A. These are all Eastern Conference teams. Over in Group C, Toronto, MLS Cup finalists, New England Revolution, the Montreal Impact, give me that Canadian Classique, and DC United. Over in Group E, Atlanta, Cincinnati, New York Red Bulls, and the Columbus Crew, who look like a possible dark horse. On the Western Conference side, Group D, Real Salt Lake, Sporting Kansas City, Colorado Rapids, Minnesota United. Group B, Seattle, FC Dallas, Vancouver, and San Jose. And Group F, LA Galaxy and LAFC, conveniently paired together for all of our viewing pleasure. And then Houston and the Portland Timbers. I'll raise my hand as someone who thought that that Portland Timbers ball was going to come up over in Group B, but perhaps we'll see that in the knockout round as well. I'm excited. I can't wait. The draw just went down. June 24th, the teams begin arriving in Orlando. July 8th, that MLS's back tournament begins with a group stage. We have 16 straight games, 3 games a day, and then you hit the round of 16, July 25th to 28th, and the quarters, the semifinals, and the final is on August 11th. What group stands out to you guys?
Well, I'll just start with this.
I mean, it's the obvious.
Well, hang on one second. I'll just start with this. It's been a while. I think things have been weird a lot of times in life. And to have Weeby read off a list of names again on a podcast, it's just comforting to have that quality once, that experience once again. I forgot we were doing the show in the middle of this because Weeby was reading a list. I haven't had that in a few months. So
cheers to you, Dave. Nobody reads a list like I do. I have that proper pacing, the little pause, you know. I've always been a great, I've always been able to read out loud extremely well. All right. And by the way, the chat says that I shouldn't call it the Canadian Classique. Chat, you're wrong. Charlie, start us off. What's the group, and you say it's obvious, that's got you riled up?
If you think it's any other group than the Galaxy and LAFC and Houston and Portland, you are out of your mind, because that group is fire. I mean, Group F, you just have so many. I mean, Galaxy obviously haven't been their best. They're still trying to figure things out, but they have potential. They have talent. Houston with Todd Ramos, it's a new look side. Also, they look motivated. They look like they have they're finding their identity too. There's the players are giving a little bit more under Tab. And Portland's Portland. This is an incredible group. Now, Portland doesn't have their Timbers army behind them when they're playing, but this is where you get to see what guys are made of. You're not playing in front of fans, but all this stuff going around in the world, you get to just focus on the game you love, right? You go back to a place when you started playing this game because you loved it, and now you got 3 games. That's it. It's a tournament, which I also love, because every game matters. So you push it, whether it's 70, 80, 90 minutes. You give it as much as you can. They have 5 subs, and you just push it. But that's the group to watch. That is Chicharito, Carlos Vela. You got those two. And who's going to take off? Who's going to come atop that group? Houston, still, that might be the sleeper in this group. Houston might be the sleeper. Don't tell me I didn't tell you so after this.
Charlie, if Houston wins this group, then it means the other 3 teams fell asleep. Like, come on, man. We saw that in the first 2 games of the season.
Didn't they lose 4-0 at SKC the second game of the season?
It was something.
Those games didn't even happen. My brain has no memory of anything that had happened in the previous 2 games.
Clearly, Charlie's doesn't either, because that's his sleeper pick.
I'm telling you right now, disregard a lot of those results in the beginning of the season, to be honest.
But why? Because like, it's the same thing, right? You're coming off the long break, and then you come into the season and you have those 2 games in the first week.
Like a new season, Doyle. It's like a new season. Honestly, you had 3 months off. It feels like a new season. It's a new preseason. And for those teams that are starting to adjust and learn what the coach wants from them, they've had 3 months to at least get sent video and ideas of how he wants to play, because the first 2 weeks didn't go according to plan.
Yeah, but Charlie, video versus playing, you're looking at teams that have a new coach who haven't even worked in their patterns. They've done it less time than like from the start of preseason till now, they've not played soccer more than they've played soccer together. So I don't know that this is a place where a team who has a new coach who wants to change the way they play, or teams that have a lot of new players in key areas, are going to succeed.
Guys, it's not so much you're learning a new system already now, but it's about still learning what he was trying to preach in preseason. And now you have 3 months, during those 3 months, to really hammer those little things down, those details that you probably only get off the field in video sessions. Then when you're on the field, that's when you practice them and you get a feel and the chemistry. But you need those small details over this time, those past 3 months, to really hammer down, this is what I want from you. And I'll show you different games, different teams, Champions League, World Cups. This is what I want. This is the style I want you to play, and this is the player I want you to emulate. And you have all that time to watch video and get a real sense of what the coach wants from you and what your other teammates should be doing while you're playing this position. So 3 months off is literally feeling like a new season. It's literally feeling like a new season.
I mean, honestly, it's more time off than most teams get in the normal off season, these 3 months. Now, one thing I want to throw out there, and of course, we're going to have Paul McDonough with us in just a little bit to talk about Inter Miami's path. But we do have to give you some of the details in case somehow you've missed that over the course of this. The top two teams in each of these six groups go on, and then the four best third place teams go on as well. Every team has four teams, or every group has four teams, you saw, except for Group A, which has six. I think that's a big disadvantage for the teams in Group A. I think it means that the first game in that group is going to be everything. If you have three teams that win and three teams that lose, all of a sudden, the gap is massive. It's the same as we see in World Cups. The first game not only sets the tone, but it basically decides whether you have a chance to go through or not. Dave, give me your Eastern Conference side, Group A, Group B, Group C, that you're looking at right now saying, that's the group to watch. That's the one I'm most excited for.
Whoa. You hit me with a curveball there. But I will say that I think when what Charlie's talking about in terms of like coaches being able to work with
teams. Hold on a sec.
Come on. How, where are you going?
How is asking you to have an opinion on one of these groups after the draw occur? Like, that's your job right now, is to have an opinion on the
group. I thought
that
I was coming on here to listen to Weeby list things. So I was just
I can go back to that.
But I think when you talk about what Charlie's talking about of seeing how teams develop and things like that, I'm really interested to see Montreal. And I think this is a group with a DC team that has talent and a guy in Ben Olsen who's been around for a while, which, by the way, I think this type of tournament, this is Ben Olsen's cream. This is rally his guys. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Everyone hates you. We're going to shock the world. This is where he lives. And I think a Toronto team that's one of the best in the league. So for Montreal, they're one of those teams that I'm interested to see what does Henri choose to do, because what he did in CCL was right. This could be the same scenario, or does he say, I want to show that we can keep moving forward and take those risks. So I'm really fascinated to see that group. And then you've got a little bit of rivalries that Weeby mispronounces and stuff. So all of that's pretty exciting.
What did I do? I said Canadian Classique.
I don't know. Apparently everyone in the comments thinks you're wrong on that.
Since when did we start listening to the YouTube comments? It's got to be now.
Joel, I listen to every piece of feedback. You know that.
Group A for me has to be it. And I know it's not because necessarily they have the highest talent, though NYCFC and Philly are right there. It's because it's going to be absolute chaos. Like every other group is pretty straightforward. You play everybody once. In Group A, it's kind of all over the place. Every team gets a different draw, three different teams. So you can't ensure that, for instance, if you're NYCFC, that you're going to have the same opportunity to, say, knock down a competitor down a peg because you have a head-to-head matchup. So I think this is going to be the group of chaos. I think every single game, every single match day is just going to be a shuffle. Like, where are people in the standings? Where are the tiebreakers coming in? To me, this is going to be the one to watch, just because I think all the way until the very end, you're going to be scratching your head and saying, what is going on here? Not only that, you have two teams that they really don't know who they are yet. Inter Miami and Nashville.
It's more than two teams.
Chicago, I'm pretty sure all six teams don't know who they are.
Five new coaches. Of the six teams, right? It's Oscar Pereja in his first year with Orlando coming back. It's Alonso with Miami. It's Ronnie Dyla with NYCFC. It's Rafael Vicky with Chicago, and it's Gary Smith with Nashville. And we have an idea of how Oscar Pereja wants his teams to play. We have an idea of how Gary Smith teams have played in the past. And, you know, we all saw what Alonso did in Mexico. But, like, these are new teams. These are new players. So you get that. And then throw in a well-established, stylistically speaking, team in Philadelphia. Like, the permutations for Group A are all over the place. I am really curious. I think if I have to pick one out, I am really curious to see what Oscar Pereja is going to have that Orlando City team playing like after these 3 months, because we've seen him build teams on short notice, kind of, so to speak, in the past, both in Colorado and with FC Dallas. And honestly, if they had given him a chance to stay in Tijuana and do it, he would have done it there as well. So I'm pretty hyped for Group A.
Dave, do you want me to go through each of these teams in Group A and read you the schedule? How would you like me to do that? I can do that for you if you'd like.
Well, I would love that, but I would say this. Doyle doesn't know how Inter Miami's going to play, so why don't we just ask Paul McDonough?
Perfect. And stop
hearing him talk about it, because exactly. He doesn't know what he's saying.
All right, the GM for Inter Miami is Paul McDonough. He has built this expansion team, Rodolfo Pizarro and the rest of them. Let's bring him on Extra Time right now to figure it out. Paul, what's up, man? How's it going?
Looking good, for all the negativity. I've missed you for 3 months. Bring it.
Paul found the only shadow in all of Miami, the sunniest place in the world.
Paul's looking like Darth Vader right now with the backlight.
If there was a cat on his lap, it would have been perfect.
All right, Dr. Evil, I mean Paul McDonough, sorry. What do you think, man? You watched this just like we did. You experienced this the same way, Inter Miami with Orlando. We knew that. Philly and Chicago. What do you think about this draw?
Yeah, no, look, I think we're happy to be back playing, right? But the group of six is definitely something that I don't think we've even wrapped our head around. You know, I came into Diego this morning after training, and I said, look, you know, I think we're going to open up. We're going to play Orlando to start. And he says, okay. And I said, but we're in the group of six. And he's like, no, okay. you know, I think it's a little bit harder to get out of a group of six, but we're just happy to be playing, right? A lot of work's gone into it. So, yeah, Philly, we saw in preseason. They're very good. They've got a really good system. They're tough. You know, Chicago, they're kind of rebuilding, so we're not really sure what's going to happen there. But really, for us right now, we just have to focus on ourselves, right? We just got to focus on what we're doing.
I've said from the start, Paul, that the group of six is where you want to avoid just pure odds.
Sure.
You know, only three teams maximum can get through. When you see this and you think about that first game and the way, you know, this is a World Cup format, essentially, how important is it for you as a club to win that first game? Not just because it's in-state, but because it really is the path to getting through to the knockout round.
Yeah, I think anytime you play in this competition, winning the first game is so important, right? It gives you a little bit of breathing room, right? And if you can get a result in the next game, you're feeling a little bit better. But the group of six, that's going to throw it a little bit up in the air, right? Because you don't know what happens in the other bracket within your group. So, yeah, the third place could be really, really difficult.
And, you know, the group is the group. It's not going to change. But what you can focus on is your squad. How much has this team been working together throughout these past 3 months? And how much has Alonso been telling the players what he wants from them in identity and structure and formation?
Yeah, they've done a lot of stuff on Zoom in the early parts, right, when the guys were locked up. And I think they did a lot of classroom sessions where he was really trying to teach them what he wanted, how he wanted them to play, what his expectations are. They came back, you know, they worked pretty hard, I think. He was happy with their fitness levels when they came back. We're into full group training. We have been for a couple of days, so he's happy with the group. But guys are rusty. You know, guys are fit, but guys are rusty. Speed of play, you know, we're trying to figure out, can we get friendlies prior to playing? You know, that may be difficult. So, yeah, we just got to focus on ourselves, you know. But he's happy, and the guys are happy to be back playing.
How will Thomas fit into that group?
So now we enter the Mario Balotelli portion of the interview. Paul, let's be serious though. You've been a part of expansion groups. One of the things it clearly looked like was you left some powder in the keg to build as the season went along. How has this changed that? And what does Inter Miami look like July 8th, August 8th, and September 8th?
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, I did leave leave room to add players, and I wanted to add players, and we were going to be adding players. The pandemic came, and now really the biggest problem for me is trying to figure out when the league is really going to let us add players. I've got roster space. I've got cap flexibility. I want to add players before we play in Orlando. I don't know if they're going to let that happen. You know, everyone else has been able to do it. So if I've got the money and I've got the space, I want the freedom to be able to do that. If they don't let that happen, then we'll compete in the tournament, and then we'll look to add players after the tournament for the last, you know, portion of the season. Our plan hasn't changed. We've actually got a little bit more flexibility. I think we'll add, I always thought I'd add two more. I think we'll add three significant pieces. We're number one in the allocation ranking now. We'll definitely use that. And then we'll add a DP and I think still another TAM level player.
What kind of are those attacking players? Is that midfield? Can you?
Yeah, I think the DP. I think the DP will be. I think the DP will be an attacking player. Definitely. I've always said I wanted to get a TAM 8, and then the third player via allocation. It gives us a lot of flexibility with the guys on the allocation list. We could go with an attacking player or somebody wide.
Tell me about right now the state of your players and the state of sort of the tactical side, both thinking long-term, but also thinking short-term, because you have a month basically. And I keep wondering how pragmatic teams will get. Will they try to be exactly who they thought they would try to be in a 34-game regular season? Or will you change your mindset a little bit because this is more of a sprint? It's a different competition with different attributes being rewarded.
Yeah, Diego and I were laughing about it yesterday because him and the coaches definitely are in sprint mode. You know, I think he's got to be a little more patient. He's worked the guys really, really hard. And they're excited to be back, right? So, they're pushing the guys really hard. You know, I think we have to think about it in the long term. You know, everyone's really focused on trying to come out of the gate and be really successful in Orlando. But we have a large portion of the season to play after. So I think we have to be smart and really focus on the long term for us.
Even focusing on that long term, Paul, it's a weird scenario in which you got a shot at a Champions League spot in year two in your market to host a Club America, Monterrey, a Saprissa. How big would that be for the club?
No, I said from the beginning, right? Competing in CONCACAF Champions League for our club would be massive, right? With the ambition of the ownership group and with the makeup and diversity of South Florida, it would be big for us, right? So it is something that we want to achieve and get to as soon as possible.
Can we just ask you if you've got any Orlando trash talk here? I mean, the first game, it's proximity. You got the Atlanta history. I mean, I'm just teeing you up here.
Orlando history.
I've stayed away from it completely. they've thrown a lot at us over the last 2 years, and I just, you know, for me, it's not that important. Everyone wants to make the rivalry. You know, I think it's natural that that's going to happen, but you know, we'll see what happens.
If it's a team in the South, Paul McDonough has been employed by them at this point. That's what we're saying to you right now. Paul, we had an interview with Margot Patukian, who is the chief medical officer for Major League Soccer. And one thing I didn't ask her that I feel like I should have, and maybe you have an understanding of this as you plan the logistics. You know, I asked if there's a positive test, what happens? And she said, well, it really should be when there's a positive test. As a person building a team, trying to compete, trying to figure this out, what happens if there are multiple positive tests? Like, do you have a feel for sort of the medical side of this and how you manage your players and what could happen as far as availability?
Yeah, we're testing every other day right now. So we started testing on Saturday. We haven't had any positives. So we've done 3 days of testing. We go again tomorrow. You know, I think if there's a positive test, that person will go into quarantine. And the rest of the group will keep testing on a regular basis. And as long as everyone stays negative, then they're okay to continue to compete.
Paul, I'm curious, not from an Inter-Miami point of view, but from a soccer fan point of view with this coming back, what are you excited about? What are you interested about the way this tournament plays out and what we might see?
I think it's great. It was a really unique concept. And I know it was really hard for the league office to put this together, right? And the guys, you know, they thought long and hard about it. And it's one of those things, you can make it good for everyone. There's always going to be issues. But I think having the whole league in a centralized location, playing games and watching the draws, the way the draws came out, there's some really, really interesting games. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of national TV games. So if you're home and you're not going back to work and you're working out of the house, then game, the TV is going to be on and you're going to be watching games like crazy. So I think that's the best part of it, right? We get to watch a lot of games over the course of a few weeks.
It's beautiful. Should be fun. July 8th, Inter Miami, Orlando. TV schedule coming out next week, I am told. So keep your eye out open for that. Paul, thank you so much for the time as always, man.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Paul, we'll have you back with Mario Balotelli, okay?
No problem.
Hummus.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. So here's the part
Paul
where
knew
I don't
what he was
read.
Getting into when know, he took he that did. Job. He knew he was getting those questions for years.
Absolutely.
Oh man. Okay, so I won't like read out all the matchups here for Group A, but you should know that because there are six teams and only three group games, it isn't, you know, every team plays a different schedule. So MLSsoccer.com is your home for all that. Let's just dive into Group A. Who's the favorite, Doyle? When you look at these six teams, who are you thinking? Yeah, they're going to get through. I feel really confident in that.
I don't feel particularly confident about any of these teams getting through in any situation in any of these groups. I think it's going to be complete chaos. On paper, you would say NYCFC because they return, like 15 of their top 18 players from last year, and they'll have had three more months under Ronnie Dyla to understand what tweaks he wants to make to Dome system. Like, that's a really good team. That's a team that should be able to do work in a tournament like this, but NYCFC is also a team that fails every single year in the playoffs, so you don't have any idea if they can actually do work. You know, Philadelphia was really good last year. Philadelphia, one of the things we talked about on yesterday's show was if you have an identity and you commit to it and you're clear about it, you're going to be at an advantage in this type of tournament, and Philly have that. But at the same time, do they have the top-end talent? That's always a question with Philadelphia. So it's like, I think it's completely wide open. I have no idea what to expect. And right now that honestly feels a little bit overwhelming for me, but I think that's going to make the games kind of like wonderful and exciting when they happen.
Literally 15 minutes, Dave, after Doyle just dragged you for not having an answer. He just meandered about. Charlie, give it to us. Who's the favorite, man?
New York City FC. No doubt. It's New York City FC.
Hang on.
No doubt. Although
last Sunday changed coaches, they went from the most entertaining team in Major League Soccer to a train wreck in a record amount of time. I wouldn't say no doubt.
No doubt. New York City FC are the favorites.
I'm about to roll out all of these guarantees from Charlie.
I'm telling you right now.
A bottle of Pinot Noir on everyone.
And that's what I'm here for. And the sleeper for me in this group, Orlando, the host, Oscar Perea. I think he's going to turn this group around and give them an identity and give them hope that they can achieve results. And I think he has Nani bought into the system, which is crucial for a new coach. I think they're the sleeper in this group. Plus, they're used to the environment. You have to throw that into account. It's being used to playing every day in that heat, which is no joke. You sweat. It takes a ton of energy out of you to be able to play in Oscar's system. He loves having possession, right? And being aggressive and then knowing when to pump the brakes and dictate the tempo. So for me, Orlando could be the sleeper in this group.
To me, it's Philly. It's you have some level of continuity and you have the ability to change the way you play, which I think is crucial in a tournament style game where it's not how you're going to play from game one to game two. It's from the 35th to the 45th minute, we have to change what we do because of an injury, because of what Charlie said, because of health, all those things. And you talk about top end winning talent. When healthy, last year, Kasper Schmelko was a top goal scorer and creator in Major League Soccer. You've got El Sino off the bench. I think this year was going to be a breakout year for Sergio Santos. If he comes in healthy, you can stretch the field. You've got guys who can play underneath. You've got multiple center backs, which I think is huge for something like this, because you need stability at all points in the tournament. And half of MLS teams, if a center back gets an ankle roll, he's missing two games and they're out to sea based on their depth at that position. So I like what Philly has. And I think Jim Curtin is comfortable with his group to be able to change things up here and there. And I understand the talent level on NYCFC, but we don't know what it looks like. We have no idea what it is. And that doesn't mean it can't be good, but there's just no guarantees.
Look, anything we say here is guesswork. I think we all have to admit that. And Doyle, I kind of needled you there a little bit. But...
So I'm locked in there. And Charlie's gotcha. Guaranteed about 85 points already.
Yeah, I've got the Houston Dynamo sleeper.
No doubt about it. NYCFC, no doubt about it, Charlie.
Yeah, they're the favorites. I didn't say they're going to come out as the number one team. I said they're the favorites. So
we're going to have to roll back. We're going to have to watch the tape.
Don't throw words in my mouth.
I think we're going to need a review here.
Yeah, definitely.
No doubt they're the favorites. Yes, no doubt they're the favorites.
All right. How about the players to watch when I look at this? I think Nani was a good shout because we saw in moments last year that he was a game changer for Orlando, but it was just moments. But in a tournament like this, all you need are those moments. It doesn't require you to be consistent for 34 games, and it looks like those teams will get about 5 days in between. So, you know, I know that you can overhype the quote-unquote World Cup experience, but I feel like a guy like Nani understands sort of the rhythm that he needs to be in himself to perform in a situation like this. You throw the Euros in there as well, and the phone's ringing here at my in-laws. So somebody ought to cut up if they hear that. That would be really helpful. Who are the players that you guys are watching? We'll start with you, Doyle, and go around here.
I mean, just in Group A, or are you talking all over the
Group A
tournament?
Group A.
Group A, we'll see if Rodolfo Pizarro is the guy that Miami thought he was when they paid for him. And he was pretty good in the first two games, but he didn't look like a Diego Valeri level talent out there. Well, if you're going to prove that you're that type of talent, this would be a good time to do it, because if you do it over the course of a month, then you get that CONCACAF Champions League berth, which would be huge for Miami.
Yeah, they're just trying to get to the fifth game is Rodolfo Pizarro. So... we'll see if he can do that.
I like that, Weeby.
Charlie, who you watching, man? Who's the guy on your radar?
Hebert. I want to see if he can continue where he left off. If he's going to be the difference maker for New York City FC. Because in order to really make it far and win a Supporters' Shield and be in CCL and have dominance and success, you need a striker who's going to score goals in big time moments. And he was that guy for the majority of the season last year. They're going to need him to do the same thing this year, if not take it up a notch to get them to an MLS Cup.
What I like about NYCFC too is that it's not just Hebert, it's depth there. You talk about Tati Castellanos, and it was kind of like a 1-2. Like if it's not working with one guy, they have people to turn to, not just up top, but on the wings as well. And I think that the five substitution rule is going to be huge.
Yeah, I would argue, though, that they're one player that isn't easily replaceable, because I think, as you said, with Tati Castellanos, Hebert can be, is Maxi Morales. And he's 33 years old, and he covers every inch of grass on the field, and it's Orlando, and it's July and August. So I think that's a question mark for that team, because I think we saw when Hebert was out last year, they were still able to create chances and win games. Maxi is the one who really makes it all tick. The other one I'm interested to see is Berić. I thought his hold-up play was pretty good the first two games we saw. As Charlie said, as a striker, if you feel good in this tournament, you just want to keep playing, and that's what it's going to be, and you're going to start to pour it in. If Chicago has any chance, they've got to have someone like that, you know, get hot, and that can carry them, whether it's Frankowski or him. So I'd be interested to see if Berić can be more than what we expected, but I think what Chicago thought they were getting or what they were looking for, which is a complete center forward.
I mean, the whole Fire team is a player to watch. Like, it's the whole team. Like, you just have no idea who's going
to
do what.
That sounds like an article.
Just haven't seen
the best 11 players to watch.
I'm actually just gonna list out their entire roster, and that'll be the
invent this player.
Perfect. Thank you. You did my work for me here. Let's go to Group B: Seattle Sounders, FC Dallas. That's a great matchup from last year's playoffs. Vancouver Whitecaps in here, a little Cascadia, and then the San Jose Earthquakes. Heritage Cup, shout out. Who's the favorite? It's got to be Seattle, right? I mean, is there anybody who would challenge that sort of conventional knowledge?
Uh-oh, hot take from Weeby.
I'm saying, that's not hot. Come on.
No. That was a difficult choice there.
Oh, I can't see your face, Charlie, because we've got the slate over. So, you know, I'm having a hard time reading your sarcasm and just voice. Who would challenge the Sounders?
I mean, we saw
Yeah,
we saw that Dallas weren't afraid of him last year in the playoffs. I mean, Dallas, if not for an incredible performance from Stephen Fry, maybe Dallas wins that game. But I think we all agree the Sounders are clear favorites in this group.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'm excited to see what Dallas does, because I think Colucci has an idea of where this team's going. Once again, though, it's another group where I wonder how much of that do you show in this? How much of that is ready to go in terms of bringing in new guys in the offseason? And I don't even know what's happening with Frank O'Hara.
I believe he's there. Yeah, I think he's going to be there.
We live in a weird world.
I'm interested to know who you guys think is the player to watch, though, in this group.
I was thinking, as you were talking about FC Dallas, about Cobra, and I was mostly thinking, will Frisco Cobra show up to Orlando, or is it going to be Road Cobra? Because Road Cobra wasn't very useful, but Frisco Cobra won a ton of games and completely changed FC Dallas. So, like, I don't know why that was the first name that jumped out off my head, but if Hara's not ready or available or up to speed, a lot's going to fall on him as it pertains to FC Dallas. And when he was on, they were very, very difficult to deal with last year. And when he was off, it was far less so. So I think that goes into sort of one of the themes of this tournament, which is teams that were good at home, which are a lot of MLS teams, but not all. How does that translate to this sort of neutral venue, this strange, different world that we're living in, where it's 9 a.m. Eastern and you're playing a soccer game on a field where the steam is still, or the mist is still rising off it, or it's 8 or 10:30 and you got whoever's in the stands. I don't know who will be there. Maybe it's other teams. Maybe it's LeBron James. I don't know. But it's just sort of this weird septic atmosphere compared to what guys are used to in that moment. And I wonder who will kind of step up, who will create their own adrenaline, and who will own those moments. Kind of going to what you said, Charlie.
Well, the difference is there are no distractions. There are no distractions. Guys can't go out to dinner. Guys can't go. Guys can't leave the hotel. It's pure football. That's it. So now you get an understanding of how are guys going to just prepare. So it's all about preparation and taking care of yourself and then pushing the limit. Because that's all you can focus on is playing. Everything else is taken out of the equation, which I love the fact that now this is all it's about. So you got to focus. And that's why for me, the sleeper is Jesus Ferreira for FC Dallas. Because he just got called into the U.S. men's national team. That always gives you some hype, some energy, and it allows you to know, okay, there's a future for me. You're just reaching, you know, the next step, the next level. And now it's like Greg Berhalter, as the coach, is going to tell you, you got to keep pushing now. You got a little taste of it, but now if you want more of it, you got to push it to the next level. And that's a guy that you've seen throughout the season, bits and pieces of something special. He has ability. Now, if he can take it to the next level in this tournament and use this as a springboard, that's a guy that intrigues me a lot. So I'm going to have my eye on Ferreira.
Can I pose this hypothesis about the San Jose Earthquakes, who were, I think, the last team to begin training as a group? They're in trouble. This is not going to be in their wheelhouse, so to speak, both because of what Mateus Almeida asked for and the fitness level that's needed. But last year was like they had highs and then they had lows and they really didn't have an in-between. There wasn't sort of a consistency. That was what they were going for this year, it seems like. It feels to me like San Jose is kind of going to be running uphill.
So the pushback against that is that Almeida's teams in Mexico especially were much better in tournament play than they were in regular season play. Like he won, I think, two or three different Copa MX, and he obviously in the playoffs and CCL, they were absolute terrors, even though those Chivas teams, in terms of overall talent, they were
bad. Pretty
ordinary to bad, if you want to be like David Goss and just like...
Yeah, but those teams were in the middle of a regular season with fitness built up and rhythm as it pertains to their style of play, no? This team's not going to have that.
No, I mean, for sure, but at some point, you know, if you're the coach, you figure that out. And I'm sure that Matias Almeida is smart enough to understand that it's different preparing for a 3 to 5 game or 3 to 6 game tournament as opposed to a 34-game schedule. And then there is the thing we always talk about with Matias Almeida's teams. They man mark. It is a different look. It makes players uncomfortable. And in a situation where everybody's going to be rusty and your touch is maybe not going to be as sharp as you want, and suddenly there's a guy 2 yards away from you closing you down, those are turnovers. And that allows you to get out into transition and go the other way. I'm not putting my money on the Quakes, but I'm saying there's like a pretty solid argument to believe in a Matias Almeida team in this type of tournament.
You also roll that over into one, they're pretty much returning everyone. So when you talk about teams that have new identities and teams that have new groups, they're not one of them. And two, we don't know this because no one in the world knows this, but is there really a difference between individual training at a training center and what you're doing at a park and in your backyard? We don't know. And there are some teams that have been training as a group, which is an advantage. But there are a lot of teams that have really, all they've done is individual training at a training center, which I don't know how different that is from what the guys were doing before they were able to get in. And then you add in, as Paul said, the Zoom, all the video, all that stuff. But when you talk about guys to watch and what's interesting, I think Tommy Thompson's one of those guys. We're in a tournament where you don't have a lot of space between games. Guy plays 3 or 4 different positions for you. How does he fill in? And he's one of the guys who really took on what Almeida wanted and I think is trying to become a leader in that group. You need playing time to be that leader. But he can play fullback, he can play center mid, he can play on the wing, whatever it is that Almeida needs as you go from game to game to game. And it could be interesting as a way to maybe launch into a better season for him.
I'm looking at Lucas Cavallini. We haven't talked Caps yet, but he was the prize. He was the guy that like parked the tank in front of BC Place for. He is what this team is basically built around at this point. And we've said you need to have some sort of production, otherwise you're not going to get the results you need to push through, especially in this group, I think, where you look at Seattle and FC Dallas and say that they're kind of clear favorites. So Lucas Cavallini, he's a guy I'm watching, especially because he just hasn't had those quote-unquote game reps with this Cap team, and also because of what they were last year. Like, it just did not go the way they wanted to, and he was supposed to be one of those big pieces to change it. And for the Caps, like so many of these other teams that missed the playoffs in 2019 or were sort of uncertain or changed coaches, I mean, this is a huge opportunity. All of a sudden, instead of the long marathon, you have a sprint. If you can win 2 of the first 3 games and get hot, well, you have a chance. If your draw is right, if your guy's scoring, if you are avoiding mistakes on the back line, you have a chance to make some noise that the Caps have not really made in Major League Soccer outside a couple short playoff appearances.
And to Doyle's point about Matias Almeida, Mark Dos Santos is very good in knockout competitions. He's won championships everywhere he's been, all in playoff scenarios. And he normally likes his teams to play well defensively first, and then you add the attack. This could be a tournament where if you score 2 goals off set pieces, it's the difference between going out and being in a semifinal. And that's kind of sometimes how these things work out. You've got a guy up top in Cavallini now who can finish and create more opportunities.
All right, let's go to Group C.
No offense to the Caps, but man, if they win this thing... Ooh, Mark Dos Santos, give that man a raise.
Group C.
If they win this thing, Charlie owes me a bottle of wine.
I'll give you 2.
Whoa. Are those coming from the cellar or are those just on the top of the counter? Like, which bottles are those?
That's coming from my wine cellar.
Wow. Charlie, I live on a tight street. So by the end of this, when you owe me about 60 cases of wine, we'll just have to figure out the delivery system.
But right now, you're, what, -5?
Oh, wow. All right, let's get to Group C. Toronto FC, New England Revolution, Montreal Impact, and DC United. Who can challenge Toronto in this group? Because I think they're the pretty clear favorite here, Charlie.
Montreal and New England. Again, it's 3 teams, 4 teams. Paul Arriola, you know, DC is going to miss him. They're going to miss him tremendously with his work rate and his dedication to get into the final third, his runs, pulling defenders out of space and providing service. I think all 3 teams, the group is a great group. It's competitive.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
You know, it is a toss-up. As good as Toronto was, I still think this is a toss-up. This group is a complete toss-up to me.
You know, we've already seen New England and Montreal play this year, and that game ended 2-1 to Montreal. But that was like Tejan Buchanan had a tap in at the end that he skied. So like these teams seem pretty evenly matched, those two. The thing to remember with Toronto Montreal is like every year these teams meet in the Canadian Championship. Every single year. It doesn't matter how down the Impact are. every single year it's a bloodbath. Like, guys tripping over themselves, doing everything in their power to get the dub. So, look, just like in Seattle's group, there's a clear favorite. Toronto, I think, are clear favorites in this group, but I don't think anybody is going to go into this particularly scared and thinking, oh, man, we can't handle Toronto.
And Doyle, to bring that up, you had Montreal without Victor Wanyama, which is a massive piece, and New England had been out with without Carlos Hill, who is a best 11 player. So now that you add those two, it's both teams are strong and can definitely pose a challenge to Toronto FC for this group.
So I'll just do the little pitch for DC here since we hit all the other teams, and I agree that this one's a toss-up. You've got a DC team with basically a full back five returning, which gives you that structure going forward. You've got a lot of young pieces higher up the field, or I think sort of in your prime, which is what you want. And you've got guys in Flores and Moreno who have played in Copa Americas, who have played in tournaments where it's four games in a span of 12 days and the entire world rests on your shoulders. So I like this DC group for a setup like this. And as I said at the beginning, this is kind of where Ben Olsen thrives and lives in. And this is the type of group that they don't give up goals. They're going to be scrappy. They've got a guy who can finish in Ola Kamara. They've got a ton of athleticism around him.
Do they have Ola? Do we know if he's going to be 100% healthy for this? Because I haven't seen any updates on Ola since he got hurt in the second game of the season.
I'm pretty sure he's training.
I have zero idea.
That was basically what I said by I'm pretty sure he's training. I mean, we got a month to catch up on this, Doyle. We got a month to catch up. That could be a player to watch. Ola Kamara, how's he feeling? My player to watch is Alejandro Pozuelo. I think he is the best player in this group. And when he is on, we saw last year that he just dominates games. He makes people look silly. And if he's on, my bet is on Jozy Altidore to be extremely on as well. And if those two guys are on, it's going to be really hard to slow down Toronto FC because they are just like a lot of these teams that are, you know, they add Omar. They have a core. All these guys have been together. Michael Bradley keeps talking about how he's come back. Yeah, producer Anders is talking about Josie's hamstrings in a tournament.
No,
but that is inappropriate. That is inappropriate. Summer.
Yeah.
I don't want to trigger Charlie. Charlie's my guy. I don't want to offend any friends. I love Josie. I followed Josie off a cliff. But Josie in a summer tournament in a short span, that hasn't historically been his best opportunities.
You're right. You're right. You'd agree with you too. You're talking about the weather, the climate, and back-to-back games. You're an older player, veteran. It's not easy to recover. And you're coming off of 3 months of doing nothing, really. I mean, you can do weightlifting, but you're not going out for long runs. And, you know, you want to stay at home. So it's going to be difficult for every player. But in particular, a guy like Jozy Altidore to recover and be at 100% every game, in those conditions, it's going to be an uphill battle. The guy I'm going to look for in this group is Adam Buxa with the Revs, because you had Gustavo Bo, now you have Carlos Hill. The big piece for the Revolution that they've needed is a goal scorer, somebody who's going to finish in any opportunity, like a Taylor Twellman. If Adam Buxa can be just as half as good as Taylor Twellman, this Revs team is going to compete for trophies because you have Gustavo Bo, you have Carlos Hill. These guys can create from nothing. And then you have guys who can come off the bench and make a difference. This team is intriguing to me. And how good is Boyan? Can we see how Boyan Krejcik can rediscover his form with Montreal, Thierry Henry? It seems like they're building something special in Montreal with Thierry Henry. It seems like guys are bought in. He's demanding a lot of them, but it seems like they're responding in the right way. So I'm obviously curious to see how those two teams do in this group setting.
Can I make a request?
We also have to mention Pablo Piatti.
Yeah.
I mean, TFC signed a DP on a 1-year deal. It's kind of a weird flyer thing. They've been looking for a winger for 7 years. Is this the guy? And this is a situation where, you know, if he has 2 or 3 hot games, it changes the perception of this group. Because for Toronto and for Montreal, right, like Canadian Championship's a pretty small competition. You have an opportunity to win that and win and get a spot in CCL. So I think maybe their reaction to this tournament's a little different. But at the same time, can you set the stage for what you're going to do later on this season? Because that Toronto is a team that's shown that they can turn it on late, like they did last year, and make it to a final. They didn't have that extra piece.
I'm going to make a request for this group and all of them, but particularly this group. We need to mic up the sidelines around the coaches' boxes. I absolutely need Greg Vanney, Bruce Arena, Thierry Henry, and Ben Olsen straight into my ears every single game. Forget the announcers. I just need anything that those guys say to go right to me, direct to my ears, because this is going to be incredible. I hope that that's part of this sort of innovative approach that the broadcast partners in Major League Soccer will take. That is Group C. Let's go to Group D now. Let's call this the Midwest Nice Group, although there's a little bit of Rocky Mountain to it, too. Real Salt Lake, Sporting KC, Colorado Rapids, Minnesota United. You got the Rocky Mountain Cup in there. You got Sporting KC and Minnesota, which I wouldn't call a rivalry, but I could fake it if you want me to. Basically two fan bases that like each other that just drive up and down I-70 there, I believe. What do we think?
Stop it, Weeby.
Come on. Just because I'm the only Midwestern here. Jeez. I said jeez, and that was not that ironic. Who's the favorite? Yeah. Who's the favorite, guys?
I think even with the injury to Felipe Gutierrez, who, in case y'all missed it, he just went under the knife, and it looks like he'll be out for 7 to 9 months. I think he had cartilage surgery on his knee. I still think that what Sporting KC has done this decade, and then what they did in the first two games, and we all spent this entire decade saying, man, if Sporting Kansas City would ever open up the checkbook and go out and get Peter Vermees, a couple of big name players, a high scoring number nine. Well, this offseason, they did. And Alan Pulido scored 15 goals in the first two games of the season. So I just really like what I've seen in Sporting. And no disrespect to the other teams who all have things to argue for, but like this Sporting Kansas City team's a favorite here.
I just think for what this tournament can be, this is a huge opportunity for Colorado in that. Yep. They're all about building a culture, having a young group trying to build for the future and maybe not win tomorrow. And for Robin Fraser to have these guys together for 6 to 8 weeks alone, as Charlie said, there's no other distractions to lock in on who you are, what your identity is. And let's be real. This is a tournament where if Kai Kamara gets hot, you're talking about a team that can contend with anyone in this group. And they've got, you know, some good veterans in central midfield. So I think Colorado, this is a cool opportunity for them to sort of start to put their foot forward in terms of what they're going to be, how they're going to be perceived around the league, as well as in their own market.
The beer is gone, but can I just pour one out for Courtney Ford if we're talking about injuries? He went back under for surgery again, Courtney Ford, a young American center back who's been through a lot, who has a ton of talent, who just unfortunately just cannot seem to stay on the field. I think about the Rapids in terms of set pieces too. You know, sometimes if you have a hot spell and teams haven't been together and they're not used to sort of that collective, defense that it takes on a set piece and togetherness, I mean, they have guys that'll just dunk on you. Like if you have Jack Price, shout out Bobby Warshaw, throwing him up into the no man's land and Kai's just dunking on you. That could be something. This is another group though. To me, is pretty wide open. Like there's no groups here where I think, oh man, it's a runaway for XYZ. Real Salt Lake has a chance. Sporting Kansas City has a chance. Colorado has a chance. Minnesota has a chance. There's not a sort of quote unquote bottom feeder. There's just hoping.
I'm with you. This group is up for grabs. I would like to see Giuseppe Rossi.
Ooh.
I'd like to see him get fit.
Yes.
That name.
Yeah. Giuseppe Rossi. But Real Salt Lake, can he get fit? Can he stay healthy? Can he get going? This would be an incredible platform for him to show what he can be worth to Real Salt Lake.
Boy, that's a name.
One of the things that's tough about this is we didn't see enough from teams in the short spell we had for some of these groups where we don't know who they were coming into 2020. We still don't know. RSL is one of those groups. Severino's gone. They played Aaron Herrera at midfield, Justin Glad at right back. So like, we don't know what RSL is. And I think Minnesota is in that group as well of change at center forward. Darwin Quintero's gone. So yeah, they have potential, but I don't know that this is a scenario in which I see either of those teams succeeding because I just think it's a hill a little bit too far for them. Yeah. So I think you have a group in sorry, Colorado, and who was the other one we said? Sporting KC, were a little bit more sure for this.
Let me push, David, let me push back on that in regards to Minnesota, because you're right. There were a lot of changes in that lineup, but the spine is still the same. There's still Ike and Michael Boxall, and Boxall wasn't great when he got here, but he was good last year. There's still Ozzie Alonso and Jan Gregoš. You still have, you know, plus players at right fullback and left fullback as well. And I think going from Manone to Tyler Miller in goal is actually an upgrade. So you have that, and you know they don't mind sitting deep and countering, and you know they're going to hammer you on set pieces. So I actually think that this kind of plays into – this plays to Minnesota United's strengths. And they don't, like, they don't have a deep roster. Over the course of 34 games, they're not going to get more than 52, 53 points at best. But if you can keep that top 15, those top 15, 16 players healthy over the course of the month, then this is like the entire tournament's dark horse team, especially based upon what we saw out of Amaria those first two games. Like, he's scoring goals for fun.
Well, he's so scoring, like, 32 this year, right?
I was going to say, pour one out for Luis Amaria, too. Number? That pandemic,
no, he has to stick by that.
Yeah. That pandemic really hosed him on that prediction. Really, by the way, did. that was Paul McDonough-esque shade on 2019 MLS Goalkeeper of the Year, Victor Manone, by the way. That was...
Yeah, what did I say? You called him Victor Manone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I can't say it's an upgrade, losing the Goalkeeper of the Year.
I can't say he was the goalkeeper of the year, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Doyle Shay. Doyle's back from vacation.
How about this for a player to watch? Kevin Molino. You'll be shocked that I went with Kevin Molino here. But, you know, he finally has an opportunity probably to be the 10. Like, he hasn't had that chance in Minnesota, whether it be injury or form or otherwise. It's probably his, because Tomas Chacon is just not there yet. And you wouldn't
Chaconistas.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that Adrian would push Chacon in here, especially with sort of the history that he has with Kevin Molino. But I'm with you, Doyle. Like, this team with Finley, Robin Ludd, if he's actually producing, they could be a team that is dangerous, because they know who they are and they're not going to be overambitious with it. Have Ike clean it up in the back. We know he can do it to just about anybody in the league, and go from there. And if Amaria gets hot, great. If he's not, you have Mason Toy. Okay, if he's not and you need a sub, you have Schoenfeld. Like, they have enough depth in key positions. And look, I know you're to the point
where you're relying on Aaron Schoenfeld. Yeah, but no, they're not going to win.
If you're there, it's just because you're throwing everything at it.
You
and
took
you're going
the words out of my mouth, Doyle.
And you're going for headers.
Charlie found a new striker to bat.
No, don't do it. No. Don't do it to my guy.
Don't do it to my guy.
Don't do it to Big Celery. Don't do it to Big Celery.
Doyle did it. Hey, Doyle did it, not me.
All right, fine. That's Group D. We'll leave on a Aaron Schoenfeld, Big Celery shade. Group E, Atlanta United, FC Cincinnati, New York Red Bulls, Columbus Crew. This one's fun, I think. You have Columbus from the PKs in the first year, 2018 for Atlanta, knocking them out of the playoffs. You've got the Red Bulls in Atlanta, who have developed into a nice rivalry between those two on the field. Cincinnati with Jaap Stam has a new coach, and they're just trying to claw their way up from a miserable, at least on the field, 2019. Atlanta is the clear favorite, but how clear without Joseph Martinez? That is really the question here.
It's so clear that they're not the clear favorites.
Bingo. Yeah, right.
Like, Atlanta, I know they won both their games this year, but they struggled. They didn't, you know, they didn't look great even when they had Joseph Martinez against Nashville. And then the second game, yeah, they did beat Atlanta at home, but they kind of had to hang on for dear life. I don't know what to expect out of Atlanta. And I'm not sure anybody really does. And that kind of makes this group feel like maybe the most wide open out of all of them to me.
So I think coming into this, we were talking during the draw. I like this Columbus group. I like them for the season in general. But when you look at a tournament like this, you've got a guy in Nagby who can just control the pace of the game and do it for 90 minutes, 17 times a week, it feels like, and still feel fine. Arter next to him. You've got experience at center back. And then you've got Giassi Zardes, who can score, and Zelarayan, who's just 27 and can let this team play around him. I don't know if it'll be the exact soccer that Caleb Porter dreams of his team playing, and went out and tried to build in the offseason. But in terms of individuals and talent, you've got threats on the wing. They're young. They're talented. They've got veterans in spots where you need it in Jonathan Mensah, Eloy Rooming goal. So I really like this Columbus group, not just to win this group. I think as a this would be my sleeper to win the whole tournament outside of the Torontos and Seattles and whoever else is on LAFC. I like what this Columbus group is made of. And I think both in a tournament setting and in a regular season, I think that they have a chance to be a threat. A little knowledge on y'all.
You left everybody speechless.
Yes. Drink that in for a moment. Charlie, push that around and whiff it before you take a sip.
All right, hold on. Let me get that. Okay. I'm with you with Columbus as a sleeper. Nothing's guaranteed with Columbus in this group. I love
Charlie
the fact that
question
Nagy,
me, so the internet got
yes. Are we back on? I like Columbus. I like Columbus as a sleeper. Okay. Columbus to me is a sleeper in this group because they haven't proven anything yet, but you do have talent and Lucas Zelarayán and Nagby are big pieces to the puzzle. And you talk about guys who can control the tempo, keep the ball in tight situations, and the heat won't be a factor with the way they play. That's crucial. Atlanta is so dependent on Joseph Martinez. He's the spearhead. He's the finisher. He's one that pushes defenses back on their heels. Without him, it changes drastically. But they're loaded with talent. When you have Petey Martinez and Ezequiel Barco, those are two guys you spend millions of dollars on because they can change the game on their own. And it gives them a bigger space, a bigger platform to do that without thinking about, oh, in the back of my mind, I have to please Joseph Martinez. I have to change the way I play to make sure I accommodate Joseph Martinez and his needs as a goal scorer. Because we all know when you're the top guy, when you're the goal scorer, everything runs through you. You are the punctuation mark, right? You are the guy. Now with him out, they have the creative freedom in the final third. They don't have to think I need to find him the ball. I can create the space for myself and get that shot off. Atlanta is definitely, for me, still the favorite, the clear favorite. And then I think it's Columbus and New York Red Bull who are going to be fighting for that two spot. Cincinnati, I think, still has a lot of work to do. They have a whole new setup. Yapstam. I mean, there's a lot of things working against them in such a short amount of time to get it going for in a tournament like this.
But I think they're the most interesting. Am I wrong? Cincinnati are the most interesting to me here. I know Atlanta, you're figuring out Joseph, but... I mean, Jurgen Lotaria, we barely...
Huh? They're the most interesting team in the league right now. Sometimes for the wrong reasons, but maybe for the right reasons. But anyway, go ahead. You were saying about Lotaria.
Yeah, that's what I'm fascinated about. Like, what is it going to be a train wreck? It certainly could be. Could they surprise us?
Is Yop Tom even going to be here?
Yeah, like, what's the... I mean, I guess they got a month to figure that out. But like, Jurgen Lotaria, we had him on the show. I mean, that was a different lifetime. Yeah. I'm sure he never got that Skyline chili, if I had to guess. But like, who is he? They were talking about, okay, when the summer comes, we actually want to exercise this purchase option. We want him to be around. He's come out and said, I want to be here. I mean, Regatine, De Jong, we never saw him. Kubo, I mean, he was supposed to be a huge change. Then you have obviously Cruz coming back. Mendunian comes in. I mean, it's a literal, I know I'm listing the names on the
I was about
roster.
To say, Weavey, get on your list. Keep going.
But it's
he's only at eight. Keep going.
It's the proverbial mystery box. Like, you for don't sure, know. You could reach in there and it could be like a porcupine, or you could reach in there and it could actually be, you know, kind of somewhat pleasing. We don't know.
Or a skunk. Who knows?
They were the most entertaining team in the league because they were guaranteed 4 goals every game. They were just going to be against them. I would say when you're talking about a question mark, what about the Red Bulls? What about the Red Bulls? We don't know what this team's identity really like. Every staple of their club is now gone in Robles, in Brad, Sasha last year. And on top of that, I think they're probably the only team in MLS that doesn't start anyone over the age of 30. Like, they are young, unproven to an extent in a lot of positions. And if they're going to try and press high, 100 degrees, games every 5 days in Orlando
You could do line changes. And this is what I would expect. Like, this, Chris Armas has to take advantage of this. And the Red Bulls over the last 5 years have been, you know, under Marsh and then Armas to a lesser degree. They've used their subs really, really well, and they have to because they don't have the same type of high-level match-winning talent that the other teams, you know, 50-point, 60-point teams tend to have. So they have to find their advantages elsewhere. And the advantage here is that you can make a line change. Come the 55th or 60th minute, you could bring in three brand-new attackers. And, like, I like Brian White. I like Tom Barlow. There's not a lot of difference between those two guys. So you take one out and you bring the other in. You keep fresh legs. You turn it into a college-looking soccer game. And you make it as ugly as possible. So that's
why'd you have to put college soccer into the mix?
I mean, that's what that's what I would expect from the Red Bulls, who have been, the whole organization has been ahead of the curve in terms of finding these market inefficiencies, for lack of a better description, and just breaking the way the game is played. And that's the chance to do it here.
What a life. What a life for Doyle to just be able to just drop these takes while he's petting his cat.
She's interested, man.
He's just living the dream, man.
FC Cincinnati fan. I did have something to say about FC Cincinnati. I agree that, like you said, it could be a train wreck, but they have Kendall Waston. We know Kendall Waston is really comfortable defending on the back foot, defending in his box. It's what he did for Vancouver for years. It's what he did for Costa Rica for years. They have other veteran center backs. They have, if Garza stays healthy, they have a veteran left back who is fine defending deep. Then they have Madunian sitting in front of him, and they have Inamaya and Cruz, two busy ground-covering ball winners in central midfield. So if you're asking Cincinnati, whether Jaap Stam is your manager, you know, in the, you know, at the actual place in Disney World, or managing from Eindhoven, like, you can come up with a scheme where you're sitting deep and you're just hitting on the break because you have that spine that's able, in theory, to do that. And that's one of the things that actually makes FC Cincinnati, like, absolutely fascinating to me. And by the way, they played the Red Bulls and Atlanta already this year, and they were pretty good. They lost both those games, but they weren't demonstrably worse.
They got smoked by the Red Bulls in the opening game for the first 45 minutes and then scored off like a back pass that Locadia ran down.
No, that was a midfield turnover that they actually forced, and they were the better team than the Red Bulls in the second half. But anyway.
My God.
I'm just saying, to pick a team that's going to come up with a game plan to win this, I wouldn't pick the one that's had seven coaches in three months.
The most MLS thing possible. Man. Would gosh, be come Cincinnati.
That is very true.
MLS thing possible. Yeah.
And by the way, they haven't had that many coaches because DeMay has coached him like four different times. So he's the same guy, so it's not a different person. Just throwing it out there for your mouth. Anything left from Group E? Any players that you're thinking about, watching, or interested in? And before we move on to Group F and wrap this bad boy up?
Licati is the one guy from this group that we're all keeping an eye on. He's a $20 million striker. I want to see it.
All right. Same. All right. Group F.
Preach. Also, Balotelli on Atlanta United. I think he'll be entertaining.
What if Balotelli went to Cincinnati?
The Locadia Balotelli front line?
And Kubo, the three.
Whoa.
Ah.
That was the plan all along.
I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. First question, has he tried Skyline Chili? Group F, LAFC, Mark Rojas picking the number four. Looking really good for that. He's the hero of this draw. LA Galaxy, Houston Dynamo, and the Portland Timbers, the favorite according to Charlie Houston. No, I'm just kidding. It's got to be LAFC, right? I mean, it's LAFC. Let's just start with this one. How excited are we to see LAFC and LA Galaxy in the same group? I mean, this is what we all were asking for. If you're just going for entertainment value, this is what we needed. Nobody's excited. Nobody
We're
cares.
We're so excited. We don't know what
oh
to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm more of a hell is real type of guy, you know, so we're jacked about that. No, I mean, look, El Tráfico has been incredible entertainment over the past 2 years. LAFC, I think, are the class of the league. They showed it in Champions League. They showed it with what they did last year. They are the favorites in this tournament. But, like, the Galaxy being such a disaster in the first two games of the year has me focused less on this matchup and more on what are the Galaxy even going to look like? Are they going to try to cross it 35 times a game again? Because that's insane to me. But that's what Guillermo Barros-Skelotto said that he wants his team to do. So I can't even I can't even think about that matchup. I'm still hung up on the Galaxy being just so completely less than the sum of their parts through 180 minutes of 2020 soccer.
Yeah, I agree with Doyle. It's hard to say, oh, the Galaxy have had the better of LAFC in the matchup and could give them trouble, you know, in a knockout competition when the Galaxy don't know who they are. I think they're further away from knowing who they are based on what I've seen than where we thought they were at the start of this year, including now letting Alexander Katai go, which was a starter for their team. So I don't see a scenario in which they're ready to hit the ground running when this thing starts. I would actually say the Portland Timbers have given LAFC trouble.
Yep.
They seem to revert into the identity that they're best at when they play LAFC, because LAFC are so dominant. They knocked them out of Open Cup. They were able to contend against them in the regular season last year. So I would say the Timbers are their biggest threat in this group. And this is the type of scenario that Savarese's been good at. He's good in knockout competitions. He got them to MLS Cup final because they sat deep and Blanco was the best player on the field most of the time. And Valeri has that ability, and they've got 18 strikers now who can do it as well. And they dominate central midfield, and they're willing to foul Vela 18 times if that's what's asked for.
For me, it's Portland and Jeremy Abobasi. That's the guy I have my eye on. Hasn't had the best of starts this year, dealing with injuries, but everyone has talked about his potential, and we've seen bits and flashes. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to him a couple of times this year, and he seems like he has an understanding of what he needs to do to be successful in this league. The runs he has to make, where he can be effective, how he can help his teammates. Because for me, Felipe Mora is not the answer for Portland Timbers at the number nine position. He's not, you know, Brian Fernandez. He's not that guy. Whereas I think Jeremy Abobasi has a higher ceiling, more potential. If he can be the guy who finally gets on the end of things, who's pushing the envelope, creates more space for the guys underneath them, I think they might have something. LAFC is the clear favorites by a mile. It's not even close. You can't forget LA Galaxy. With or without Katai, they're still not on the same page. They still have to figure out, how do we play to Chicharito's strengths? How do we get him to feel comfortable? Because at the moment you watch him play, he is frustrated. He doesn't know when people are going to get him service and where he likes the ball, his runs. Sometimes when he makes dummy runs to create space for other players, people aren't on the same page as him. So those 3 months, that's not going to help him, because you need the players on the field with him to get a feeling. That's where, no matter what the coach says, it's different. You need to be on the field to get a sense of his movements, his change of pace, to really get on, for him to get on the end of things, for him to read the players sending balls into space and providing him service. So I think they're really on the heels in a tournament like this. LAFC is a clear favorite, and I think it's a battle between Portland and Houston for that second spot. I mean, you can never count out the Galaxy in this tournament, but they're at a huge disadvantage.
But they're not strong at center back, so they're not a group that you trust sitting deep and defending for a long time. And like Charlie said, they're not a team right now, it seems like, where the issue is all watching video. It's the movement. It's the timing. It's understanding the players you're playing with. And yeah, you've got some sort of connection between Dos Santos and Chicharito because they've known each other for 15 years, but no one else has ever played with played with him before. And everything Chicharito does is based off timing and based off understanding of the movement of his own teammates. It's not like Joseph where, okay, at the worst, we'll throw it on the back post and he'll dunk on someone. That's not his game. And I don't know that this scenario or the way this season's played out is in the best, you know, interest of his success.
I mean, I also wonder what the Timbers...
I just want to interrupt, Charlie. From your perspective, who do you think actually has more pressure on them? LAFC or the Galaxy?
The Galaxy. And it's because...
You don't think that if LAFC don't win this, they're going to keep hearing it from...
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the Galaxy, just because you have Pavone, you have Chicharito, you have Dos Santos, you have these guys, and it really comes down to Pavone and Chicharito, because Pavone can create for Chicharito. He can create for himself. He's the most dynamic offensive player the Galaxy have. But you're not going to see chemistry between Pavone and Chicharito until they get games. And in a tournament style, you don't have the time to adjust. It's results now, now, now. So if they get going in game three and they lose game one and two, it doesn't matter. So for me, it's the Galaxy that have all the pressure going into this because they're supposed to be one of the big dogs, yet they haven't been performing there and there's no chemistry between those their top players in the team.
I mean, I would argue the Timbers may have a similar problem. Yeah, they have Valerian Blanco, but with Yimichara, with Nizgoda or Mora or Obobese, who hasn't got as much time as maybe he's wanted, they might have that issue as well. The thing I'd say to what you said, Dave, is I trust their back line. I trust their midfield. I'm not sure I trust that from the Galaxy at this point. Who's the player to watch for you guys? Who's the one in this group that you got your eye on that you really want to see? I mean, for me, I'm going to go obvious. I'm going to say Carlos Vela because his level of dominance last year in a large part like made the season. You know what I mean? He was the story. LAFC were the story. And the big question mark about 2020 was, would Carlos Vela be that same player? Would he be able to take over games? Would he be just out of this world production-wise? Would LAFC just run people over? And now they're in this different alternative world that's in no way the same, where they've had to sit around for 3 months and think about it, and they have to sacrifice a little bit as players and as staff and go to Orlando and be away from their families. How much will that affect them? I think that's part of the things that we're not talking about. Charlie, you said, yeah, you have 35 days to focus on one thing, but there will be distractions. And that distraction is that you're not with your family and friends. You're not in the place that you're most comfortable. And I wonder how that'll affect a player like Carlos Vela, who's always
Charlie's like, send me to Orlando, put a ball on my feet. I'm banging in.
I'm telling you right now, if I'm playing right now, I got twins. I got a wife. I have a family that I love so dearly. But if you're telling me with everything going on, I get to go to Orlando and just play, focus on playing and nothing, I don't have to worry about anything else, I'm all in it. I'm lost. I'm lost because I can take all those distractions out and
what,
I can just
twins?
Focus on playing.
Don't even
so
FaceTime me.
So don't even try that.
Ignore. He sees that FaceTime. Ignore. I'm trying to play. I'm trying to win games here.
Yeah, stop it. No, you focus. Right. There's no distractions.
I would say in this group, though, Yimichara is the one where Portland wants to get over the line. They want to be a different team than they've been the last few years. They want to be able to dictate games and dominate and beat Seattle and go to MLS Cup and all those things. That's where they spent the money, whether it was correct or not. And this is an opportunity for him to prove. And this should be a great tournament for him. The guy's next level fitness, covers so much ground, is a pit bull, you know, all those things. Production is the question mark with him. But if he does it in 3 of 5 games down in Orlando or 4 of 7 games, then that's what you've paid for and that's what you're looking for.
It's nap time right now. And I sing all the nap time songs and go to bed songs. So we're going to have to cut this one short and just get one more question in, guys. Hate to do that, but if you didn't know I have a kid, I didn't know if you knew that. I could read a list off about it or something like that.
It's impressive that Weeby's in mid-season form after all of the layoffs.
I know. So here's the last question for you. And we have a month to talk about this, and we'll do it. If you're watching on YouTube right now, subscribe to the podcast. Extra Time, wherever you listen to podcasts. We come out Monday and Thursday. Of course, we're on YouTube as well, the MLS YouTube. So subscribe there and watch us if you'd prefer to do that.
Before you ask the question, I just want to say I think the opposite of what Charlie's going to say. So continue.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you. On the field or off, most interesting thing to you about this tournament as you start to wrap your mind around it, as we now have the groups, which you can find at MLSsoccer.com. What is it that gets you the most excited, that kind of gets your brain rolling, that you're going to be talking to people about, that you're going to text your buddy or your friend or whatever it is, or your family member? Dave, we'll start with you. What is it?
Just this idea when you watch tournament soccer of, you know, sometimes you have a guy who gets in a zone and can carry a team. I think of, you know, World Cups, Zidane in 06. I think Cavani in 2018, guys like that. And it's fun to watch when that's the case. That's the March Madness thing. A guy gets hot, hits every shot, and all of a sudden a team gets in a conversation. Maybe they didn't belong. So the idea that there are a lot of good guys in MLS where it could be Berich, it could be Kai Kamara, it could be Cavallini, or it's just Vela, the guy you expect. I don't know. But I'm excited to see who takes this opportunity. And in 7 years, we look back and go, remember when so-and-so dominated the MLS's back Orlando tournament the one time it happened? Because I think that's going to be the story. When we get to the semifinals, I think we're going to be looking at a Toronto and Seattle. And I think there's going to be an FC Cincinnati or Vancouver, a team that you don't expect.
Charlie, you can go ahead and push back on that FC Cincinnati.
Charlie has to disagree with me, but yeah. I came in on strikers, so now he doesn't know what to say.
No, it's funny that he threw Cincinnati in the fold, but you know, I'm just excited to watch the tournament, like just to get the game back, to watch, to wake up, to come on Extra Time and talk about each game, each result with you guys. That's what I'm pumped about. We haven't had that in what, 3 months?
Yeah, it's been tough.
I don't need to go down into individual games and breaking down who's playing who. Just give me games. I just want to watch. That's it.
Doyle?
Yeah, I'm kind of there with Charlie, to be honest with you. Like, this is such a distinct and unexpected development, basically all of 2020, that, like, there's no way to categorize it. There's no way to really predict what's coming or even know what you're looking forward to. So I think it's the unknown unknowns that sort of have me amped, because we're going to see stuff in July and in Orlando that I don't think we've ever seen before from MLS. So I'm kind of thrilled with that.
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I'm kind of amped about that. And then the other thing is just like, there are a bunch of new coaches in the league this year. There are a bunch of new teams who are playing new and different styles. And I always like that. And I think that a variety of styles is, yeah, one of the things that gets me going the most. Yeah, so, yeah, Charlie's going to play us out with his new favorite instrument.
I love it. That W4 ball, I'm cherishing that. I'm going to put that in like a nice glass box in
my
office.
How many of those are headed to the Soccer Hall of Fame, by the way?
That's mine, baby. W4 is all mine. Okay. For me, I know you guys hit the on the field stuff, and I'm right with you on that. I'd say ditto to all of that. Mine is, it's sort of the real world, man. You got 35 days of these guys trapped in the same hotels on their individual floors, talking to each other with a lot of downtime, watching each other's games. Like, I want to see how they experience it. I want to hear about the stories coming out of Orlando that aren't necessarily all about on the field or are. I want to see how guys express themselves, whether it be when they're warming up with that t-shirt or after they score or in the media, as all these different things in our society continue to roil and change and hopefully for the better. I want to see the impact that our players make as competitors and as people. I want to see them on center stage, and I can't wait for the games, 54 of them, 16 straight games of days of three games. Like, we've been in a drought and now we have just a flood. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait. MLS is back tournament. Here we go, July
8th. I have to add this. Dante Washington just texted me and said, thanks for putting us with Cincinnati. This is rigged. This is rigged. Dante, it's not rigged. That's not rigged.
Dante.
Okay, Dante Washington. Shout out to one of the MLS originals. Yeah. Hey, it's not rigged. And, you know, Brendan Burke from the Philadelphia Union definitely said, hey, this is no distraction involved here. This is play. You got family, everything going on.
They're dead to you guys. Now.
I'll see you in a month. You know, I'm out the door.
You guys, right. I think this whole point of this show is just so Charlie could brag about his Rolodex.
Exactly.
And how everyone he knows watches these shows. And
here we go.
Thanks for watching,
Dante. I'm going
down
to open up a bottle of wine. See you guys later.
Subscribe.
Charlie, I'll be up there in like 2 hours. Just text me. Yeah, no worries.
iTunes, YouTube, Monday and Thursday. We'll be here to take you through the whole tournament and prepare you as well. Thanks for watching, everybody. Enjoy your week and your weekend. We'll see you real soon.